Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
All right, we got another fun conversation, and this one with a team member, but also who's been doing this for a little while. So if you can introduce yourself and maybe to start off with how you got into this mess in the first place, if whether that be short or whether that be long.
Oh, I think it's gonna be long. My name is Sarah Bader. I moved to Idaho in 1998, I believe. It was kind of one of those fall or winter moves, so it's always right on the cusp, so 98 or 99. And ended up attending parts of Christ Church and Evan Wilson's church and being involved in the classical schools. And then, you know, how I ended up here right at this moment is kind of a funnier story, because I've been working just kind of behind the scenes for many, many years. I don't know what to call myself. Someone said like peer help, and that's a pretty good description. But I like to be like the resistance, you know. I've been really trying to sound the warning bells about Doug for quite a while. I've seen the evidence and I've seen what has happened to my friends and people I love and care about. I've seen what's happened in my community. And I don't do bullies. And Doug is nothing but a bully with a Bible. And I find that despicable. And so it's kind of been my life mission since I was a little kid to take him on. And so I had heard from someone else that I trusted and loved, and they're like, oh, you need to meet this pastor, and he's got this podcast going. And I was in the midst of another podcast, and we'd spent almost a year in legal, and I thought it was going to be really phenomenal. And I had recorded quite a while for it, and it had some other really great guests. I was really looking forward to it, and it released. And it was the biggest disappointment. I was so shocked at how soft it played. And I would have sworn that it was an advertisement for Doug, which I'm sure he loves. And then the response about it, you know, there was a good response because a lot of people were not ready for how ugly and how evil Christchurch is.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I really enjoyed the time I had with the host. But I don't know what happened between that and the actual publication, but I was sorely let down. And so I called up my friend and I said, fine, hook me up with this weirdo Christian pastor. And then I saw your guest list. I went, oh, holy fuck, here we go. So thank you, another friend who told me I should be allowed to swear on a podcast, because here I am swearing. So.
This is explicit for a reason, because a lot of swearing, but then also a lot of sexual and physical and everything abuse stories. You're like, you know what? We're just gonna label everything explicit.
I'll keep it to a minimum, but yeah, I was really, really shocked, and then I was like, okay, well, what's gonna be the letdown? He's gonna give up. This is too big. There's no way he's gonna cover all this. And I think, did we sit down and talk the first time we talked, like for 3 or 4 hours?
It was like 2-ish hours. Yeah,
it was intense. And then we recorded it again.
Mm-hmm.
And
another 2 hours or so.
Yep. And I asked not to be in that episode because I really wanted to help you with your project. And I felt like that was a part of me, because I talked a lot about my history, which I have for many other articles. I've been in the Vice article. I'm in Disobedient Women with Sarah Stancorb again. I did a YouTube video with Kevin McGill mm-hmm. on Courageous Empathy, and then the NPR podcast. And so I feel like that part of me is kind of over and I'm ready to move on now. And it's been really exciting to be part of this project, because I feel like finally someone is doing something and people are finally listening. And I don't know what that says about the nation in general right now, but people like Doug, bumbling idiots who do not belong in the pulpit, who have harmed other people. I can't stand it anymore. So, and I feel like Moscow has been very permissive, and I am often here and I feel very alone. But I think that a voice from Moscow does need to stand up and say, like, this is not okay. And what Doug has done to us is not okay.
Yeah. So your first like out was when you went with Kevin McGill on his podcast. And I know people like he hasn't really been credited with just how much he's done for a lot of the people who
Yeah.
come out. But if you want to talk about Kevin and your time with him, how that came about, and the response you saw to his podcast too.
Yeah, so I had previously always been working kind of behind the scenes, and that's what I've been doing for many, many, many years. So this pastor, I literally had just gotten done with this horrible workout. I had harmed something in my arm, and so I needed to go see a massage therapist, and I just managed to sneak in with this pastor's wife, and I was like, oh, great. But at the time, I was kind of trying to network with the community and warn them because I was seeing Christchurch moving into our small town, which is kind of a warning sign that they're going to buy everything up, take over, and then make it their little utopia. And so I thought, well, I'll just kind of soft float this idea because most of the time I don't get a good response from pastors. So we were talking, and she was really intrigued, asked a lot of questions. It was not the most relaxing massage I've ever had. It was fantastic, but it was like we were talking about cults the entire time. She's like, "You have to meet my husband." I'm like, oh, okay, sure. He doesn't want to meet me because I think that probably most people at this point know I am an atheist. And so a
And
lot of
people
times,
like everyone just wants to connect you with all these Christians all the
yeah. So, and this was
time.
really my first foray back into dealing with the Christians because I had some really negative experiences. And so anyway, this guy wanted to talk to me, and I thought, oh, screw it, what good or what harm can it do? Sorry. And I remember my boss saying at the time, like, oh, he only has 35 followers, no big deal. So I went and did this YouTube video, and our phones, I think for the next 3 weeks, did not stop ringing. There were churches in Ireland calling me. There were, I think we talked to between 40 and 60 different survivors of different types. So there's spiritual, sexual, all sorts of abuse. I mean, it was so overwhelming. I would get done with work and spend up to 6 hours a day on the phone with survivors. I'm sure you know like how much time. And just, most of those stories are never going to come forward, but they just wanted to unburden themselves. They heard something similar, and they heard it was really incredible. Kevin's voice was so compassionate. And I don't believe he's actually, I don't know what his credentials are, but he's not secularly informed for trauma victims, as far as I know. But he was so good with these victims. And it was incredible to see the response. And it was shocking how much of a response we got. We had no idea. And that's when it started to kind of really take off, and people started to put Moscow Idaho on the map.
When was that? Was it what, 2020, 2021? When was this?
2021, I believe, because Vice came out the next year, right?
Okay, because I think the Vice article came out 2021, so his must have been 2020.
2020. Okay. Yeah. It's
Okay.
honestly, it's all a blur. Like, this has not stopped for me since I got on Kevin McGill's. I sat in an awkward chair, and I have not stopped operating at this level, just so invested since then. So,
And what was so after McGill, had Stancorb already contacted you, or did she contact you because of the McGill podcast?
for Stancorp, she contacted me because of the podcast, I believe. I would have to ask her reasoning, but as far as I know, that was the point of contact. And I think I told her to F off so many times. Like, I just, I
This is a
was
recurring theme in your
so,
life.
I was, thanks. I was so done. Media, and the problem is that what I was getting was constant people in the media asking for survivors. Oh, give us another one. Like, can you give us an exclusive, someone who's never talked before? Which I do understand to some extent, but at the same time, I was like, I am not offering up survivors as clickbait. Like, that's not how this works. And StanCorp approached it with a completely different mindset. She was offering me help and connecting me with resources to help me deal with the amount of stress I was under because I was the point of contact for so many survivors. And I'm not an advocate, I'm not trauma informed, I'm not trained to do this. So it was quite helpful for her to come in. But yeah, she came in and did her piece, which brought to light so many survivors and really explored their story, and then continued to do the Slate article after that, and then Disobedient Women.
Did you see a difference? Because I know McGill is a Christian of sorts, and StanCorb is either agnostic or atheist, one of the two. Did you see like a difference between those who responded to McGill's podcast and those who responded to StanCorb's article, or was that just due to like article versus podcast, or one was slightly more pitched to a Christian audience, or one was slightly more pitched to a broader audience? What like
Well,
what did you see like in response to both of those?
so I think, well, Kevin's the response was really huge because Kevin was male. So that was the first time I think a male pastor in our area, whatever his denomination may be, and there's a lot of respect for Seventh-day Adventists in the, or at least they enjoy having the money of the Seventh-day Adventists who come to their school. So there's a certain amount of respect that is given from Christchurch to the Seventh-day Adventists. So I think that that was shocking to them and kind of like betrayal from their own camp. So we, and it reached a lot of survivors or victims who had not yet had a chance to tell their story because they were just shocked a male pastor was listening at all. StanCorb's article was really good because it was so well researched and so well presented and so well written and incredibly detailed. And it really covered survivor stories, whereas Kevin and I more talked about abuse in general. So Kevin had more credit as I think a male pastor, whereas StanCorb, she got drug a lot, I think, mostly because it was a vice. I mean, just the word vice seemed to be enough to turn a lot of people away, but it did get national attention. So it was kind of two different audiences. But both of the voices, both Kevin and Sarah's voices, are so empathetic that I think that really shone through on both of their pieces.
And then how'd you get pulled into that NPR podcast? Those are all three like super different outlets and people behind those and intentions and goals and everything.
Well, yeah, and now I'm on a Christian podcast. I play well with everybody. We all have a mutual goal here. Don't touch the kids. Like that's kind of my rule.
Easy. Yep.
It seems like it, you think. So NPR came about because as far as I know, we'd had a giant murder case in our area, which drew a lot of media attention. So a lot of people were looking at Moscow anyway. And then StanCorp's article is like the next biggest thing about Moscow. And so as far as I could follow, NPR arrived to interview based on a lot of StanCorp's writings, or at the very least that story. I mean, it wouldn't have gotten out to the national world if she hadn't written that. So, and of course, there was also the Guardian article, but as far as I remember, that wasn't even referenced.
Yeah, I think the Guardian article is also more on like the finances versus the abuse stuff.
Correct. Yep. So I did the NPR thing, and then, despite all the whining that the Kirkers did, it didn't hit at all. I mean, it seemed to shock the pearl clutchers in the bigger world, but it was so disappointing to me. I was so, I know that it was only a few episodes, but I just felt like it didn't dig in at all. It didn't, Doug talks and talks and talks, and he talks over everybody. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And you aren't really sure what the point was at the end of it all, and you're lost. But there is so much evidence of what he has said online. And I was su so surprised that there weren't counterpoints to anything in the podcast. There was no, Like, I know because I was on the legal side, or I dealt with legal a lot, that there was so much fact checking into what I said, most of which did not end up in the podcast, despite the 9 months of fact checking. But like, did, not a single, I don't remember a single point of Doug's being countered. I didn't even finish the podcast. That's how bored I got. I was like, if anyone can make Jason Scheibe sound like a rational human being, they've done it wrong. So, cheers, but that was not my thing. So I was hoping, I had high hopes, and now, here we are, and this is amazing. So, a little bit different.
That's good. That's good. So, how did you eventually get roped into to this? And you don't have to name the people who roped you
Yeah,
in. And then
literally months of begging. And you're really gonna like this guy. You're really gonna want to talk to him. He's not, I call him every day and make sure he's not gonna back down, that they aren't gonna take him out. Because, I've seen so many projects come and go, and all, over a decade of doing this now, everyone promises and then under delivers or gives in because the bullying is so real. I mean, you saw we launched and 5 days later, our pages were hacked. Our contributors' pages have been hacked. Don't know who, but it's kind of ironic that it goes right down the list of who helped us produce this podcast or helped you. I'm sorry. You are the host.
No,
I'm just
it's
doing social media.
helped us. It's all of us who are doing this.
But yeah, so how we got to us is that this person kept insisting I was going to like you. And I was like, he's not going to want to talk to me. And then you did, and I was so shocked, and I really enjoyed it. And then I realized that I think we are a lot more alike than anyone I've talked to, because there's so much good in the empathy and the soft voices, and you need that camp. But at this point, like, someone's got to lead the charge, and someone's got to take down the bully. And I think both you and I are the people that are willing to tackle the bully. And there are so many other great camps ready to help survivors and really ready to come in with that compassion. And I think we're ready to like lead the charge. And so it's been really invigorating to finally get involved in something that I feel like is actually doing good and making a difference, reaching
So,
a lot of people.
reaching a ton of people, and we'll talk about that. So without taking anything away from other podcast articles, maybe besides NPR, but without taking anything away, what do you see each, so let's say Kevin's podcast, Stan Korb's article, Guardian article. And then maybe we can even throw in the NPR stuff. Like, what do you think? Like, their focus was, like, their thing was, what they're known for, what they try to do. And then what do you see, like, Sons of Patriarchy di like differ from them and trying to do differently while also building upon what they've done as well?
So Kevin was a great intro. I think he was the one to break the ice. That was what we needed in this area. And we did a lot. We covered a lot of stuff from spiritual abuse to LGBTQ issues and just quite a few little things. But we only had three episodes. We just touched on it. So that was very short-lived, but really necessary to open the doors. And then Vice was really survivor-centric, disobedient, again, survivor and women led. NPR, Guardian did finances. NPR did a little bit of everything,
I
kind of.
think they touched on everything. They didn't go deep on
Yeah,
anything, but touched
like,
on everything.
and for sure that amount of episodes you couldn't, so I get it.
Yeah,
So
they
here
had,
we
I think,
are,
10
Sons
or
of
so
Patriarchy.
episodes, maybe.
Yeah, plus a bonus round. So to be fair to them, you really can't get deep, but whatever. What Sons of Patriarchy is doing differently is, one, I mean, like I said, I think I can't remember if I saw your guest list before I talked to you or after I talked to you. I think before. I think that's why I talked
We
to
were
you.
still
I was
building it at that point. So we had a good portion of it done, but we were still building
like,
it.
oh my gosh, this is actually it. Because As I mean, I recognize those names. Like I knew who those people were. And I think it was actually Tia Leving's maybe where I got really, really excited. I was like, oh, I have got to be involved in anything that touches Tia Leving's. Because she and I have talked a little bit and she's just awesome. So yeah, I think what you're doing differently is you're giving the background, you're building this case for why it's so harmful, and you're touching a lot of different issues. You've listened to concerns about the community, you've listened to concerns from every camp. Whereas NPR, you know, had kind of one bend, Vice had kind of another. This podcast is for everybody listening. You know, we have, and we're not, it's not a, you know, a big sob story. It's not a it's not putting survivors on some pedestal and exposing them to things. We're trying to build this case to show how Doug has crept into every camp and is using his way to, I mean, in my opinion, take money from people and build his empire and get fat and rich and happy.
That's right. Yep, and he's all three of those. He's fat and rich and happy.
Well, jolly. I don't know about happy, but
Okay, that's right.
jolly.
Jolly. That's right. His countenance is high. His countenance is beaming. I think they like the word countenance all across the series. See, it's make sure your countenance is lifted.
And not bitter.
Yeah, not bitter. No bitterness, no bad feelings. It's only good feelings here.
Yes, I feel great about this podcast. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good.
I hope I feel good
Not
about it
bitter at
because
all.
yeah, I'm leading it. So if I'm not feeling good about this, that's not a good sign.
But yeah, I think that, like, you know, talking to you, I had to do the same thing that I did, which was go to all the secular groups in the area and just that have built up it to support each other and just say, hey, look, like this is legit. I know this guy's a Christian, but you really need to be listening to this podcast. And so it's been really wild to have all these people tuning in to this podcast just because they also want to hear what you have to say. They also want to know that what happened to them is not Christ-like, is not Christian, and isn't acceptable. And I think that that's really spiritually healing. And I think it's really necessary for this area. I think it's necessary for the whole nation, as we've seen. You know, this is not like I have a very localized view, but I am astounded and horrified by how many churches we are starting to hear from.
Yeah, we're hearing from a lot.
It's disgusting. It's bad.
And I'll help answer this stuff too. But and we've gotten questions. We launched this 3 weeks ago ish, which is pretty wild. But we
Oh,
started
did
getting,
we? Yeah.
yeah, it was around 3 weeks
No,
ago,
2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks
2.5
ago.
weeks ago. And people, I think there is an assumption of why we existed. I think everyone's like, oh, they're going to do what all the other, for some reason they thought, I mean, it's because I'm reformed.
Right.
But they just thought this is going to be another reformed hit piece or whatever it is, or it's just going to be on theology, or it's just going to be on the abuse, whatever. I mean, most people thought it was just going to be on the theology. So there is an assumption of why we existed,
But you're
but
sandwiching it so
yeah.
well.
But if Sarah Bader was asked by this, if Sarah Bader was asked by somebody like, what is the purpose of Sons of Patriarchy? Like, why do you guys, and we have a post on this if people want to find that, but what's the purpose of Sons of Patriarchy? Is it to destroy his theology? Is it to destroy his politics? Is it to it's to lift up survivor voices? And somebody asks you, Sarah, why do you guys do what you do? Well, what would you say?
Do you want me to answer as the podcast or as me?
Both. That's
Okay.
intersection or cross section or
I
just
mean, for
you
me,
or
it's all.
podcast.
This is for me, this is an incredible chance that we have to reach so many survivors and to tell them, we hear you, we see you. And by the way, this has happened to so many people. I cannot tell you how many people have contacted me, said, I didn't even know I was abused. And then they could go on and they've related something to the story. But it is so imperative that that theological base is set, that we talk about how Doug got here and has snuck into everyone's home. You know, he's, if you turn around and look at your bookshelf, you probably have a book that Doug Wilson has published or has somehow touched. And people should know about that. And I feel like this podcast really is doing a great job of lifting survivors, making sure that we're trying to gather a safe space for them as and I think we're going to see a great exodus of survivors, but we also need to show what, or at least try and warn people what Doug is and how insidious his empire has become. So what's your answer?
Yeah, it'd be very similar. We're trying not to balance, because balance assumes that we have different things that don't touch each other. But we're showing, I'm like, at least my goal is to show integration. It's like you don't have this kind of theology that doesn't also either potentially or is intrinsically tied to some sort of like abusive practice. We're trying to show
Yeah.
that, and both through survivor stories and through like subject matter expert people, or people who've done this for a long time or do this for their career. And what I'm trying to show, and not I'm not trying to force it, I'm trying to position these things in a way where people see that when the survivors are talking, they're gonna echo what the experts are saying. When the experts are speaking, they're gonna echo what the survivors are saying. So it's not two different funnels. It's you can see how these things,
Oh, they're
there's
hand in
so,
hand.
yeah, they're hand in hand. It's they're not parallel to each other, because again, that assumes that they're not touching, but they intersect at so many different sections, which is not something I think either of us had seen in other attempts, where it was either just abuse or just the theology, which you have to touch on those things. But
Correct.
that
Yeah, even
was
as a non-Christian, I'm really interested. And to be honest, sometimes listening to this is really kind of almost triggering because it's like, oh wow, I didn't realize that that was something that I held and I have to let it go. And so it's been also educating for me, and I come out of this, you know, and I've so it is good. And I love that the experts are helping ex give the language to
And
what these
they know
survivors are
why, like the
experiencing.
experts know why they exist. We're not looking at them as like, oh, you need to carry the series. That like the experts exist because they're trying to get the survivors' voices out there. That's,
They
I
have been
mean,
so
every single
passionate.
person knows what we exist for.
They've been so passionate, so involved. I mean, so I think that everyone's seen the Alleviate lives that we did when we were giving away books and everything. And I mean, my poor neighbor helped me move something, and he walked in the door, and there were just stacks of books about sexual trauma. And I was like, "Look, I am not that traumatized." Because I mean, it was just my whole living room floor for 3 months while we waited for this to happen was stacks of books. And so not only are these ex experts helping us just by their presence and their voices and their knowledge, but they have been so involved in the project, and it's been so much fun. It's been amazing. I really have enjoyed connecting with people. I've never met as many Christ-like Christians as I have on this podcast. I've never actually been impressed with Christians before. And now I'm like, oh, well, y'all aren't so bad.
That's right. Yeah, that's what we're trying to show. We're not all like the Kirkers. We're not all like Wilson or anybody else. Where some of us are kind of normal and nice to be around, hopefully. But that's also a big deal too. That's what we don't want to come across, at least what I don't want to come across, and nobody behind this wants to come across, is that like people listen for the experts, like the quote unquote big names, and then the
Right.
survivors just kind of get thrown in there. It's we were very clear with all the people who were coming on. It's like this exists for one reason alone, is we're gonna call out what's happening, what's really
Well,
happening
yeah.
behind the
I mean,
curtain.
when you
And
did my
every
interview as
single
a
person was like,
survivor.
absolutely, whatever I can do to help. And so even the again, the famous quote unquote people, or like, I don't care about my platform or whatever. It's like I want to get the story out there.
Well, I feel like even just from your perspective, when you were talking to me as a survivor, when we did our first interview, yeah, I felt extremely heard and extremely just able to tell my story. Like it was very freeing, and I felt very supported by all of the quote unquote experts or famous people. Sorry, like Christian celebrities, I don't know, but there are a few names I recognize, and I got all excited. I'm from Michigan, so Rachel Den Hollander might be my favorite person ever, but little side quest there. She is a hero. But it's just been they have been so not only supportive of the podcast, but supportive of the survivors after the podcast. And that's my big push. I know that's your big push. I'm really hoping that people pay attention to kind of the upcoming things the next few weeks where we start funneling donations. We just have had to we've had to be cleverer than the people trying to steal the money
We've had hacking attempts to some of our stuff.
And thankfully thwarting that. And so we've got to, we want to lock it down and make sure that we have all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted. And I really, really hope that this platform brings forward those people that have not yet been able to tell their story, whether they want to share or not, what space they want to exist in. I hope that they are able to find their space. And I think one of the important things I feel like saying as an atheist is if people reach out to me, especially because I'm local, I'm not looking to push you to deconstruct. Like, I want to meet you where you're at, wherever you're at. It's been the whole gamut. Like, I have met everyone, super reformed Christians, I'm friends with them, all the way down to, people who have come out as non-binary or whatever. So I'm not trying to change anyone. I am trying to change this town. I believe that there's a higher mission, and I believe that this sort of thing is disgusting. Whether, I mean, Christ is as whatever entity you want would not put up with this. And if you're going to use that to try and change my government and change my town, you should be met with resistance. And so, I mean, Moscow, come on. The survivors have been waiting so long for you to stop being silent. And so please consider donating to Outreach. Consider donating to Sons of Patriarchy. We will have all that stuff set up. We already have Outreach going. It's going to great resources. It's not a smearing Doug campaign. This is about the survivors. So we're coming at it from that perspective, at least on that side of things.
We're not just going after Doug Wilson. We're going after a lot of people. So it's not just focused on him. There's a system problem that he might be closer to than some others, but there's a whole thing going out there. And this is tongue in cheek, but I also ask this seriously, and that's because this is the stuff that we heard earlier, and I know it's why Christians don't want to listen to us. Because I know atheists and non-Christians and others kind of don't have a problem listening to us because they're like, oh, great. Like the Christian faith is getting destroyed by all these progressives or whatever they think they are. Is this a progressive hit piece? Is this where we've got a liberal agenda and all these progressives coming on the series, which is not looking at all the reformed Christians we also have coming on the series too, nor the host himself, who's technically neither progressive nor conservative.
No,
But
and
is
if
this just like a
that's
hit piece? Are we just got a political game in mind that we're going after?
oh man, if this were a hit piece, it'd be a lot fucking shorter. This is a long, this is a saga. You're taking it back from Doug and his childhood. Not well, childhood. Oh yeah, childhood. No, like I have my beliefs, but it is that in no way impacts me and how I handle the podcast. I know that's the same for you. This goes beyond politics. I mean, we can kind of reduce it down to the don't touch the children, but you can kind of reduce it down to spiritual abuse and physical abuse are not okay. I don't care who you are, what religion you are, what your political stance
Or
is.
how you
I don't
explain it
care who you
away, saying,
voted.
oh, she asked for it, or she was wearing this, or I'm
Absolutely
just
not.
attracted to all women, and so this just happens to be a girl.
Well, I think the other thing is that I would like to also emphasize is that this podcast takes into account that there are male victims, that males are a victim of this systemic abuse and this spiritual abuse. I think they get set up for this furthering of patriarchy, which is equally damaging to them and their marriages and their lives. And so I really love that everyone is included and we know how damaging the system is. And yes, Doug may be the epicenter, but let's address the whole thing.
So if maybe one of the last things we can talk to, if there's anything else that you want to touch on. I wanted to touch on, even though I'm never a big fan when people do this stuff, but I think it's helpful that people know our reach a little bit. But this thing got big really, 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 really fast. Within the first few days, it got really big. So for those
For
who aren't on
24
social media,
hours? Yeah.
first few hours, we debuted at number three on the Apple podcast chart, which was none of us saw that coming.
Had not dropped a single episode.
Nope, nothing. And we debuted near, darn near, damn near the top.
I think I screamed and then died a little, then screamed again like a little girl, then ran around circles and called my mom. I was like, "Mom, I made it. Top three." But it's been a trip. Wow. Did not expect this kind of response. It's been phenomenal and so grateful for all those people who have hung on through like the theological pieces and the survivor pieces. And everyone has like a little bit of, we've had some technological difficulties, mostly due to hacking. And so, but people have just hung on because they've been invested in seeing healing here or everywhere. I mean, it just stuns me every day to be hearing from people all over the country who say, Doug Wilson was in my home. Doug Wilson influenced my marriage. Doug Wilson influenced the way I raise my children. And it's incredible to be connecting with those people. So, kind of scary, actually, but
Because we're
thrilling
only
at the same time.
yeah we're four episodes by the time this comes out, we're four episodes in.
If you don't lose your voice by the end of the year, I'll buy you a bottle of champagne because I think you're going to lose your voice.
What's nice is I already recorded most of these things, so when they come out, I'm just editing and putting these things together, which is that was my whole summer was I probably did 150 interviews, and then editing that down to roughly 30 episodes.
Crazy.
So it's been, yeah, it's been a lot. So maybe to end out, again, if there's anything else that you want to talk about, feel free. What's not like the structure, but like I think everyone is expecting us to come out with a bang, with like just the worst, most disgusting stories on front to hook them, and then go from there. But they're like, oh, you guys started with this progressive woke professor, which she's neither of those. And
Yeah,
then
that's the narrative they want to give, but it's incredible. I mean, she was incredibly historically knowledgeable. It was a really good start. It was a
you may
really great
disagree with her,
intro.
but she says she's not wrong.
No, and she backs it up. She has the receipts. So then you start there, and then I really hate, and I think that you've been really conscientious and you've listened to the survivors because when you handled my podcast interview as a survivor, I know that I had total agency over what was published. And I think that's hugely different. So I guess backing way up, no other podcast or even with articles that I was in ever let me see or know what was going to be published. And that's a lot of agony for survivors to go through. So that's been something that you've done. I don't think it's appropriate to parade out the best, worst story. I mean, trust me, they're coming, but not because we want that shock value, that hook. I don't think
Yeah,
that
we
that
could
is
do
the
it for
point.
downloads. We could do it to become one of the
Yeah.
top podcasts in the world, but that would be throwing
It'd be
survivors
literally at the
under the
price of the
bus.
survivor. Yeah. No, this is not that's not the way. And I think in some ways, and not to discredit anyone's abuse stories,
No.
but I think that the slow, insidious way he's gotten into everyone's lives and taken apart evangelicalism and put it back together again poorly has harmed people in ways that they don't realize. I hear all the time, well, my story wasn't as bad as so and so's, but your story is just as equally valid. And I guess that's my last point, is that your story, whatever it may be, spiritual abuse, domestic violence, just feeling a little off has validity. And you need to listen to that. And you need to find a safe church or find a safe place. And for the love of God, hide your wife and kids.
So where can people find, I don't even think we've said this on it. I don't have any edited pieces on any of the episodes, but where can people find, like, where are we at on social media? I know we say we have our show notes, but just so people hear this, where is our social media? Where can people donate? What are some avenues that people can look at? What are the resources?
So
So
we're Patriarchy
where shout those out.
Sons at Patriarchy Sons on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. There will be links on Instagram and Facebook where you can donate to Outreach, which is a nonprofit that we have paired up with. They're specifically pointing their funds and resources at survivors. Then we will be also having a Patreon for the podcast itself, where we'll have donation portions. Some of it will go to some of our contributors, some sound and things like that, some of the social media we've done. But for the most part, everything's been donated by survivors, which has been really cool and really fun. Kind of the team fuck Doug movement. But
That's
yeah,
right.
but then as far as the podcast, we're everywhere: Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, we're just everywhere that they could possibly see us. So come join us, listen. It's going to be a wild ride.
It's gonna be wild. I looked at the numbers a little bit. We've got about 20,000 subscribers on our podcast feeds right now, which is pretty stinking wild. Existing for only 2.5 weeks, and that'll grow as we keep going. So that's we're trying to build this bigger than the people we're going after, and say if you don't like what's happening, join us.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit, we'll see how it goes, but truth, people are just longing for it. I think that this will just continue to get bigger and better, so, or worse, I mean, depending on how you look at it, but we're here for it. We're going to be, I mean, I'm not backing down. I haven't seen you back down, so
All right. Any parting thoughts? Any arrow across the bow from Sarah Bader? Anything that she wants to leave Moscow or listeners or survivors or Doug? Anybody else? Parting words before we end this.
oh, I should keep it PG, like 13 at least. Moscow, hello. You must participate. This is not okay. So show up. And whether that's being involved, sharing, if you can't financially give to Outreach, which is specifically aimed at our area, if you can't help that way, we love seeing you on social media. We love that you share. And then, Doug, you are a coward and you are nothing but a farce. And that is going to crumble so fast. And I cannot wait. I'm younger than you. I will be there to see it. So, there, parting across the bow. It was even PG-13. My mom would be so proud.
There we go. Yeah, that's no matter, and I'll say this too, no matter what comes after us, people imagine it, whatever you think might come after us, just know we have more. Whatever people have that they want to say about us or to us or threaten us with, just know we have more. It's whatever you think comes from the Moscow crowd or from the Wilson crowd or from the patriarchy crowd, whatever vile assaults that you think that they can send over to us. I want people who are listening to know, A, we know something's, we know what's coming. We're not ignorant. But we're also not scared because we know what we have and they don't know what we have. And that's what keeps us going, because we're like, hey, you can do and say whatever you want, and it's still coming. Because
The
We
train is on the
got
tracks.
10 times more than people think we have.
It's going to be good. So I'm in for a wild ride, but did
Well,
not expect this. So
no, I don't think anybody expected this.
from
This
that
least of
little
all myself.
pastor, sorry I said that about you. I take it back now. I
Yeah, cool.
think my
Well,
exact words, I don't want to talk to that little pastor. Be a
yeah.
stupid podcast,
Yep.
but
Well,
here we
look at us
are.
now. Look where things are at.
Yep.
Cool.
Sons of patriarchy.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sarah, for
Thank you.
joining the team and talking. And we're going to continue to fight. And people will know that A, we're not backing down. And B, take what we have just produced for the last 4 episodes and times it by 10. And that's what we got coming out.
Yep, keep listening. It's going to get wild.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.